Ashton, and this is Hey Julie here at Julie Land. That's right. And with me today, an icon, a legend, all those big words you can think of, the one and only Nina Hartley.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
I am so happy to be here. I love the name of your site, the Julie Land. I just love
Thank you. It's
great.
It's supposed to be an amusement site, you know, a place to go have fun.
Good.
Yay. Is what that's about.
Yay, Julie Land. Well, you know, you look so normal, and I know your brain is so wacky that I think the two things combine really well, because you don't look, you don't know. Come on, really.
I think it confuses people, you know, because I really am known to be kind of the girl next door with a very perverted mind.
But that is gold. That's gold.
Now, why do you think that that's nature or nurture? Was I born with a crazy, freaky mind, or did stuff happen to me along the way?
I think that the capacity for wacky slash kinky slash weird slash swinger slash open slash whatever is inborn. The particular way it expresses has to do with nurture. For example, I'm bisexual.
Okay.
If I had this tweak instead of that tweak, maybe I would have been more dykey and a little less into guys, for example. Or
okay.
I would have found out about SM sooner rather than later.
But because I would have an experience,
right.
but it's still there.
But it's like my husband, Ernest, is that way, and it's like attracts like. So the thing is in me, and it wouldn't. You and I wouldn't be friends if that didn't like recognizes
right,
like
the energies. The
energies,
didn't
is, the valences, the vibrations are the same, and
right.
the expression they take isn't as important. I have found than the fact that it's there. So you and I have one sex scene together.
Yeah,
but we've liked each other always because there's something
right. Something
you know,
clicks.
And there's lots of other pretty girls in the business who I just
yeah,
and they're nice, but. I don't want to be friends. So I think the how your kink looks has to do with nurture. That you are kinky is nature.
Gotcha. I like that. When did you find out or realize or accept the fact that you were bisexual?
I was really quite young. I live living in Berkeley. So I was born in 59. So we're talking about 69, 70 in Berkeley. So it was
right.
extremely liberal.
Very
and
cool.
And I ran into, actually, it was the Berkeley Bar, which is no longer in existence. And it had a picture of a woman dancing topless in People's Park. And I was just dumbstruck by this. And I was reading stuff and I saw the word bisexual. So I knew that, yeah, by the time I was 12, absolutely knew that I was interested
wow.
in girls. I mean,
wow.
I even had a word for it, bisexual.
Right.
And luckily for me, I never for one second felt bad or guilty about it. I didn't do anything about it for 6 years till I was 18. But the fact that I was this thing was just, well, I have, you know, brown hair and blue eyes and I'm bisexual and I like peanut butter and jelly. And
right.
So it was
just
a thing. Right. That I didn't feel compelled to deny or to pursue. And I knew early on, are you familiar with the artist John Willie?
No.
Okay, he's a famous fetish artist from from the 40s. And if you saw his stuff, and you'd go, you would love it. And he, of course, it's high heels, you know, damsel in distress,
right.
DS stuff.
Right.
I was 14. I didn't know anything about DS, SM. These words were years away.
So here I am.
And,
I'm not sure what DS means now.
I mean, it's dominant submissive.
Okay,
capital
there
D
we go.
Slash little s.
Okay.
And so it's a component of SM or BDSM. And I was 14 years old and hippie, you know, hippie clothes. And I see these pictures of John Willie. And I was just like, and I just had an instant recognition. Oh, yeah, that. I didn't know what it was. I didn't
right.
know why I liked it. But it's just like, yeah, want to be her. It was just instant. And
wow.
fast forward 20 years when I meet my now husband, and he's into this world, and he was able to tell me that actually it's a fully developed subculture full of other people. There are lots of other people like me. I'm
right.
absolutely not alone in this. And actually, you know, I have a whole bunch of friends over here waiting for me, and it turns out that it's true. And but like swinging, you liked it the first time you were exposed to it, didn't
right.
you? Did
right.
you know? And now, before you heard the word swinging as a concept, did you ever have dreams about having more than one partner at a time? Had it ever occurred to you? Or having a boy or a girl?
Yeah. You know, but you know, I think that a lot of those ideas came from watching porn.
Oh, interesting.
I don't remember. It's like trying to remember before you could read or something mm-hmm. like that. I don't remember before having extremely oh. sexual thoughts. I loved sex, but I loved men. I really have always loved men, you know. And it was when I started dancing in a club that the women caught my eye, and I was like, oh my God, these girls are beautiful.
So
and
it didn't come
fun.
It didn't come to you until it was, you were exposed to it.
Right. Absolutely, because I was very tomboyish. Boys were always my friends. I had one or two girlfriends in a small town. The bisexual thing, I don't think ever crossed my mind.
Wow.
Until I was working in a strip club.
That's amazing,
because
I've been dreaming about girls for as long as I've been dreaming about boys. See, it's so interesting.
Yeah, it just was really, I'm a late bloomer all the way around.
Yeah, you are,
I
but you
think.
Know what? You never lost.
Hey, you know, once I figure this shit out, I am
You're on it.
Right? I am on it. So what were you doing and what provoked you to get into the adult business?
I was someone who, by the time I was 14, my first sex job,
mm-hmm.
this is a scoop for Julie, for Hey Julie.
Awesome.
My first sex job ever, I was 14.
Wow.
And this was 1973, people, so just calm down. It was a Renaissance Pleasure Fair, which you probably have been to, one of the pleasure fairs somewhere in the country.
Okay.
Harvest Festival, people dress up and you get to go immerse yourself in this fabulous fantasy
eat
world.
Eat turkey legs.
Yeah, eat turkey, exactly.
Stuff like
wenches
that.
And corsets and heaving
right.
bosoms, guys in kilts, you know. And it's
right.
fabulous and fun. And I grew up in that environment from 10 to 18 years old. And so I was 14. And I'd kissed a boy once, and I ended up working in the Drench a Wench kissing booth.
Okay.
And long story short, I loved it. Why did I love it? Most girls would have been petrified.
Right.
I liked it because I already knew I was exhibitionistic. And so I loved the fact that in public,
mm-hmm.
I was safe, didn't have to date the guy, didn't have to talk to the guys.
Right.
They paid a buck, got three sponges with a catapult or a crossbow, and they would shoot it in your general direction. You'd leap into the wave at, oh, I got my skirt. Okay, you're going to kiss, you know.
Right.
And then the guy would get 3 to 5 minutes to kiss you, and then he'd have to go. And there was guards there telling him to move on, get out. I didn't have to, like, talk or be alone or have a date. Oh, I just wanted the experience.
Right.
Got guy. So for a summer, for 6 weekends worth of this work,
I just kissed dudes,
and nice. I'm a fucking really good kisser. But I loved it. It was in public. It was sexual. It was impersonal.
Right.
Without being crude.
Right.
And I was protected. There was an audience. I was just like Then I didn't get into dancing until I was 23. But
right.
all those time, I just loved that job. I didn't know what about it was. And I was interested in prostitution and whores. I thought they were really cool.
Right.
They were independent women.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even have sex until I was 18. I was just I was a late bloomer too. So I had met someone, my first husband, and he was supportive of my fantasy of dancing.
Right.
I'd wanted to be a dancer. And he got me into a amateur contest at the O'Farrell Theater at the Sutter Street Cinema in San Francisco. I won. I got a job there once a week doing a live girl-girl show in a peep room. So
okay.
mirrors all around.
Is this where the windows go up?
It was one-way mirrors all around, tip slots, handles on either side of the mirror so you could step up onto it and get your crotch right,
right
to the window.
Right to it.
And if you looked in behind the mirror glass, it was a little booth. There was a chair, a wastebasket, paper towels, and a curtain, and a light bulb. So if you wanted to be seen, you turn on
the
light.
And if they don't, then they just keep watch.
Right. And I loved it because I wasn't looking at men. I was looking at me.
Right.
You know?
Oh,
I was having sex with a girl. Woo! You know, and money would come out the slot. Woo! And then at the end of each show, we sit there and divide the money. I was just like, this is great. I loved
How
it.
How could there anything wrong with this?
No,
absolutely
I loved
nothing.
It instantly. And then I got a job. I then went to O'Farrell Theater, got a job there as a stage dancer doing live dildo shows. It's like, wow. With a live audience. I loved it.
Do they still do that? I
yes,
cannot believe
yes.
Of
San
all
Francisco.
The years I lived in California, I have not gone to any of the, I have not been to the O'Farrell Theater ever.
You need to take your sweetie pie and go. It's a sexual emporium. You know, on stage in San Francisco, I could have live hardcore girl sex on stage, fisting,
wow.
Live fisting with the audience 3 feet away. I loved it. I love a live audience. I love having sex for a live audience. If I could play the guitar, I would go and do a rock club. If
right.
I, you know, and this is what I do. My performance is sex, and I love the feeling of a live audience, and they're on the edge of their seats, and they're just so loving what you're doing. And the girl,
right.
If you get the right submissive girl, like, you know, you play her. I don't take a lot of sex on stage. I do it.
Right.
If you get some little submissive thing
you
who just
it.
Loves it, you know, and can have 6 orgasms in half an hour, it's like, fuck you. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
And yeah,
that'd be
well,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got into it at 23. I finished my college education at 25 and by then was in movies and went into movies full time. But I got into it because I wanted access to women.
Right.
I didn't want to have to date anybody. I just wanted pussy, you know. And I love porn, and I think you like it this way too. They're gonna fuck you.
Right.
If the question is, okay, all I'm talking about is how. What do you like? What do you not like? What do I don't do? Fine, I'll not do that.
Right.
I don't have to like. So, hey, so where are you from? So,
yeah, should I call you tomorrow?
No,
what
I
do you
couldn't.
Want to eat tonight?
No,
yeah.
No, just show up. Let's have sex. Go home. Good, bye bye. And I loved it. And because for me, with girls, I'm very shy. So they showed up naked. It's like they're already unwrapped.
All really the work was already done.
Absolutely.
Same. I think that is the one universal thing about women in this industry is that we love women and we're too shy to make the move.
Is that pathetic?
So we
one?
Just
oh
like
God.
Lay them down in front of me and I'll be fine.
Right,
but if
right.
I actually
I
have
take
to,
it from here.
Yeah, I get it now. But if I have to like make that move.
No, and get her to agree to it. And what do you like? Then, of course, when you're doing it for real, then it's all the dyke drama. You know,
oh.
What about porn chicks? There's no drama.
No, absolutely.
And then you find them you like. You've made a couple good friends in the business
right.
That you continue to know probably at your wedding.
Absolutely.
You know, and I had a couple friends in the business at my wedding. So it's just some of them, there are a lot of people I like to work with, and then some people I want to associate with.
Right,
hang
it
out
translates
with,
into real
yeah,
life.
Yeah, into actual friendship.
Right.
Justine, a whole bunch. It's really nice. I would never have met them other way. So I got into the business for access to pussy.
Beautiful.
Because let's face it, we're chicks. Dick's easy to get.
Absolutely.
Shave, shower, show up. You. Want to come home? Okay. You know, it's not hard for a woman to get a man to fuck her. It's
right.
Really hard for women because we're used to someone else making the first move. And
absolutely.
So it's like, okay.
It's just terrifying.
I don't know how men do it. I don't know how men do it.
I give them total props. Just to
yeah, me
that is just so terrifying.
When I was 14 and realizing that, oh my God, I could never have been a boy. I even knew then that I couldn't have been a boy.
Right.
Because they had to do the asking. They had to screw their nerve up.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest brother is now 50. He'll be 56 this year. Mm-hmm. And so when he was 16, he worked all week mowing lawns all the, to get money for. And he spent it all on a date to go out with a girl and realize this is bogus.
Right.
This is ridiculous. I don't, you know, he worked like a slave to get money for movies and a burger with this chick. And she went, gave him a peck on the.
Yeah.
So that was the end. Of course, it was Berkeley in 1966. So it was the end of dating as we knew it. Actually.
Right. Anyway. That's funny.
No, but I love porn because it's unabashed about it. It's sex.
Right.
And you and I both have met women on the in the movies who go through the motions, mm-hmm. will let you touch their body and will give a performance. And then the ones who are like, oh no, you're that way.
Yeah, exactly.
Justine's that way.
Give it, right.
Justine is that way. She loves the camera and she loves doing sexual performance on camera. So she's a fantastic partner for you because she will just, and she's, it's like
she's having fun. It shows, you know. You
and she likes the audience. It's part of the turn on for her is that she's being watched. It's hot for her. It's like, excellent.
Yeah, it shows. It shows. What do you think about the business these days? Is it overwhelming to you? I mean, we were just in Vegas, the AEE, you know, the big show with all the stars. And I go every year and I'm like, it just blows my mind how different but yet the same, you know, but it's just bigger and bigger. And is there a breaking point? Is there a balloon that's gonna pop?
I think there's gonna be some kind of restructuring in the next few years as technology becomes more understood. But in a sexually repressive culture, sex always already has an allure.
Right, absolutely.
Okay, so even in a perfectly healthy sex positive culture, people will still like sex a lot. Of course, when you repress, when you keep people ignorant and repress the expression of it, it makes it even more. So porn's never going to not be interesting to people because the culture is still very, very repressive about it. It's weird. It's oddly repressive and liberal and
it's kind
permissive.
Of schizophrenic.
Kind of schizophrenic. Gee, like, Calvinism does that to people. You know, because remember, as you know, the energy, when you squish it here, but it's hydraulics.
It has to go somewhere.
It has to. Yeah. You know, it's the life force. I mean, people say, oh, you know, it is the life force. Without that oomph from the crotch, we would never bother to go date. We would never bother to fuck.
Right.
And we wouldn't be here. So there's an aggressiveness to sexuality and a competitiveness to sexuality and a push to it that Mother Nature put in there for a reason. And so for that reason alone, porn will always be interesting. And now, of course, it's more and more varied than it ever used to be, and nothing but white bobby socks and nothing but, you know, pierced nipples, nothing but whatever it is that you're looking for. I don't know. I don't think it's ever going to collapse, but the business is already consolidating and reorganizing because it's now old enough and mature enough to have companies and to have corporations. And it used to be a bunch of, you know, iconoclastic individuals shooting their dream. And now it's bean counters with suits and ponytails making product.
Right.
They might as well be selling widgets. And I don't like it because the movies nowadays are very cold. A lot of them, they're very like, okay, they go through the motions. 1, 2, leg open. 3, 4, insert cock. 5, 6, rub around. 7, 8, come on tits. And where's, you know, but any good porn movie, any good sex movie is about the zip between the people.
Right, connection.
What do we do in porn? We lick, we suck, we hug.
We in and out.
Hugging and sucking, kissing and fucking.
Yeah, it's very basic.
There's girl-girl, boy-girl, girl-girl-boy, boy-boy-girl, solo, and groups.
Yeah, it's just not a lot.
It's not a lot. And so what's left? Human feeling between people. And this is why the greats stick around for a long time because, Bruce Seven told my husband something very important early on in my husband's career.
And what his line that was so
popular
slammers,
he was one of the first Gonzo people. But Gonzo was before John Sogliano. Mm-hmm. He was just getting with Portia Lynn and those girls, Bianca, getting the girls together for slight kinks, like slight SM spanking, oil wrestling. But he says, I don't care what anybody says, behind every great movie is one man's hard on. And John Sogliano knows this. So if the material being shot does not turn on the director, it's not going to turn on anybody else.
Absolutely.
And so each director has to go for his or her crotch. Like, oh, yeah. And if the person making the movie doesn't have that sensation.
If just like cha-ching.
Yawn. It's going to sink like a stone. And so someone like John Sogliano has built phenomenal success on never being satisfied. Mm-hmm. He's always wanting something. He says, I'm there for the guy who never sees what it is he wants. And his movies are good. And they're always good. And they're consistently good. And they continue to be good.
Right.
Because, you know what? That's a good brand name. I can. Mm-hmm. And because it's not, oh, they think, oh, it's about new girls. It's about young girls. It's like, no. It's about actual passion.
Right. Why does every 18-year-old want to be a porn star? What is it? And is it healthy? I mean, would you suggest this as a career for people?
I would not suggest porn as a career for people. It is only mentally good for a very certain kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's someone who... And no, I would not tell an 18-year-old girl to come into porn. I would recommend that she find other sex work first to see if she likes it.
Right.
Try be a dancer, doing, request stuff on the internet, something solo first. You know
right.
what? God forbid, be an escort.
Yeah.
There's just no cameras.
Right, exactly. It's not documented
forever that you're being 18 years old and stupid. I don't know about you, but are you glad that certain things that you did at 19 are not on camera?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I want my experimentation off camera. And so I don't think it's healthy for a person to get the first taste of a thing in a commercial situation, especially
right.
18 when your boundaries are bad, your ability to say, no, I don't do that, is bad, your need for approval is high,
right.
your fuck you, mom, dad, is very often very high.
Right.
And then, so there's me, but you and I are middle class, we had college, we had other options, we just,
right.
we went, you know what, yeah, over here, you know what, I like it over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about someone whose class background is not the same as ours. I used to think, oh, there should be a 21-year age limit for porn just so you have to do something between high school and fucking on camera.
Right.
And it was pointed out to me, it's like, and so you condemn this person to 3 more years in whatever hell they're coming from.
Right, at fast food.
At fast food, being chased by Uncle George, and it's not... Let's see, porn, Harvard, it's porn, paper hat, porn, double wide, porn, 4 kids, porn, chicken plucking factory.
Right.
And so at that level, porn, I can make $500 legally in a day. Sign me up.
That's huge.
Get me.
Yeah.
You know, now most of the women in this business, including me, don't do well with their money. But it is an opportunity to get into the middle class for people who have no other way.
Right.
You and I, again, we went to college. We had built a career and been middle class a different way.
Right.
We're middle class this way, but still we had options. And so for people who don't have options, for a smart, savvy, entrepreneurial, tough chick, porn could really be a good place because you are your own business. You
right.
are the boss. You are the commodity.
Absolutely.
And so for a hard-headed businesswoman, actually porn can be okay. And then mm-hmm. for people looking for love, partying, meeting rock stars, attention, whatever, you and I both know the horror stories.
But
in the world though,
barely long.
In the world though, everybody, everywhere, if you are a person that has a sign over your head saying kick me, someone will come over and kick you.
Right.
Porn, singing, anywhere. And
right.
so porn is one way it could be exploited, but let's face it, for people who are predators
mm-hmm.
are everywhere. There's some predators in porn. There's some predators in the disaster relief.
Absolutely.
Section.
And if you're a victim, you'll be a victim anywhere. So.
Yes. I do believe that. It doesn't take the, you know, and after a while, you know, when is it your responsibility to take care of yourself?
Right.
This is what I had to learn in my marriage. When is it no longer he has to stop doing something? When is it I do something?
Right.
And that's that growing up. And I wasn't ready to grow up at 18. I'm glad I didn't I wanted to be in porn since I was 17 and saw my first movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad I didn't get into it till I was 25. I'm
right.
very grateful that I was forced, that wasn't available to me at 18.
Yeah, it's a different experience. I was 25, and thank goodness.
We've done well
And
ourselves.
I'm here. You know,
right.
I'm
here,
still
sober,
here. I'm not
happily,
going.
We have
oh my God!
Relationships,
absolutely.
You know, we have, and
we
that,
came out okay.
Yeah. yeah. If I'd been in it at 18, I would have.
Yeah. So, what are you doing these days?
I'm finishing my book. Tuesday, we deliver the manuscript to the publisher on Tuesday.
Holy cow!
We've been writing for a year.
And are you? You have help, but you're writing. These are your words, your experiences,
yes.
Not coming from someone else.
No, it's not an autobiography. Right. It's Nina Hartley's Guide to Total Sex, based on my video my best-selling video series, Absolutely. Madam and Eve. Those have sold a total of 570,000 units.
That's incredible.
In 12 years. It's incredible.
Congratulations. Yes. And so, and that's everything from oral to anal. Oh, my God.
No, domination.
Which is really funny when you say there's hugging, kissing, right. in and out.
Right.
And, you know, but yet here you've come up with 30 variations.
Right. So the book is half polemic. What I believe about sex and what I believe are the moral imperatives around it, and half tab A, thought B. Hold it this way, tickle it this way.
Right.
You know, how do you pull hair? How do you bite a neck? How do you rub a vulva? What do you do? You know, how do you hold it?
And right.
No explicit pictures because it's a mainstream book. It's going to be going into Barnes & Noble.
Congratulations.
And it's really great. So I write the first draft of the chapter, and my husband, who's a professional editor for 30 years, does the first run through, says, add more here, what do you mean?
Right.
And then I make the corrections. He smooths it out and puts it away, and people are going to think I'm lying like a rug, but we have had not one argument in the entire 14 months we've been doing this. It's been completely smooth. These are my ideas, and
right.
he is putting himself at the service of my ideas.
Right.
He's a brilliant editor, and I give him this jumbled Piscean mess of stuff,
right.
and he comes back with this brilliant dissertation on a subject. It's like, wow, I'm really smart.
I knew I meant that.
Right.
I knew that's what I meant.
Awesome. That's what I meant. Yeah, I said that way. So it's been really brilliant, and it's been one. It's going to sound so syrupy, but it's brought us closer together. Our marriage is stronger because
good
of it.
Fan.
We realize we are good partners. We make good video together. We swing well together.
Right.
But we also are good creative partners. And
That's neat.
So it'll be Nina Hartley with I.S. Levine. So it's not this. It'll be, so he. It's not you
right.
know as not as told to, but it's with. So he is
right.
on the cover.
Beautiful. And say the title again.
Nina Hartley's Guide to Total Sex, and it'll be out this fall from Avery Press.
Sex. Beautiful.
And that's a subsidiary of Penguin, so that's a real
that's
publisher.
Really
I got an advance and everything.
Wow.
I got, yeah. So actually, advances, you know, they're divided into thirds. Did you know that?
I don't know anything about publishing.
I
threatened to write a book, and I never. That means you have to write.
Right. So they divide the advance into three parts: when you sign the contract, when you deliver the manuscript, and when they publish it. And
right.
so we thought we were going to have money to write the book. So in the whole last year, we've all been doing our other jobs as well.
Sure.
He shot video 6 times, put out 12 magazines.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
And so he, poor man's had 3 jobs for a year, so now he's going to go back down to 2.
Okay.
Only 2.
Now, why not? Do you see an autobiography ever?
Yes. Now, if one thing about the first book, then means you get to write a second book. The second book might be more political about sex and porn, and really,
right.
I talk to the feminists a little bit in this book,
right.
and I talk to, but it's not a polemic, it's not a political statement.
Right.
There's politics all through it, but it's mainly about, no, it's mainly fucking and sucking, and,
right.
you know, police people. It's about the basics.
Yeah.
But the next book probably will be more take on the politics of it head on.
Right.
And then maybe a third, by the time I'm 50, I think a memoir would probably be appropriate. I'm not 50 yet. Give
right.
me a minute, you know?
Yeah.
And I'd also, quite frankly, and this is something that's very touchy for me, how do I write an autobiography and not get into my first marriage, which was 20 years duration, and they're still around, and they're private people.
Right.
And
it is tricky. I mean, part of the reason I think I haven't done it is that I'm not sure if I'm ready to bring it all back up. You know, that was a part of my life that there was good, but the bad's going to come through.
Right.
And am I ready to look that in the face right now? Maybe
yeah.
not.
And my, you know, my childhood was mainly lonely. I mean, I wasn't,
yeah.
you know, molested or raped by a priest or a family member, but it was very, you know,
I don't want to be hurtful.
I don't want to be hurtful. I'm not asking for sympathy. And what about my life is relevant to the reader anyway? Because my fans want to know everything about me. but a book has to be for more than just my fans. It has to be connecting something bigger or be more useful to people.
Why is this interesting to be me?
Right. No, it's very easy to know why it's interesting to be us. Come on.
All right. Fair enough. But are you still performing in front of the camera?
Yes, I am. I don't dance anymore. We talked about that earlier. I haven't danced since November of 2002, and that was great. I thought I'd miss it. And I know about you, when I started dancing, I loved it so much. I thought, oh my God, I know that one day I'll stop. But I couldn't imagine what one day was going to look like.
Right.
And when it came time, it was so good. It was so nice to be able to set it aside.
Yeah, you were just
I was ready for it. Mm-hmm. So this is the probably my last year in front of the camera on a regular basis. The book's coming out at the end of the year. Hopefully that will kickstart other options for me.
The next chapter.
And, you know, I'm 47 in 2 months. And after a while, it just becomes unseemly.
Yeah.
It just becomes, you know what? My fans... This is an interesting thing. My fans will love me until I'm 80. My fans will always want to see me be sexual.
Right.
Then there are people who didn't, and you'll find this too, that don't even become your fan till you're 40 because they're only into MILFs. And then there are other people who for the last 20 years have been waiting for me to retire because they're really mean, spirited, motherfucking asshole
Right, you're not
jerks.
18. Get off the fucking screen.
You know, stop wasting air. I mean, and those guys, I don't really let that bother me because I realize they're loser guys and they haven't had someone fuck them because she liked him for how long?
Maybe ever.
Oh.
So...
And I like performing. But do you know in Japanese theater there is a form of theater called bunraku?
Okay.
Which are the life size puppets.
Right. Okay.
And the puppet masters are in black.
Right.
With
absolutely.
A mask,
yes.
A black back, and it's all about the six sticks and the, mm-hmm. And so I see myself more and more as a bunraku player. So I'll wear something elegant and black and with a push-up bra and a low-cut thing. And then she'll always be 22.
Right.
You know, she'll remain 22. And I like playing girls. I really do like playing people. But after a while, after you get more dominant or something, after a while, you getting fucked, yawn. You have seen me get fucked 800 times.
It goes back to the in and out. You know, it's like, all right, there's my pussy, and there's stuff
there
coming in and out.
You know what? It's still there, and I still make that same noise I made 20 years ago.
Well, here we are.
And the new girl, she'll always be new.
Right.
And I like new girls as much as the next person.
Absolutely.
They're sweet.
Beautiful.
So
Nina.
Do you swing at all? Yeah, you're too newly married. You're not going to go there.
We talk about it constantly.
Hey, that's hot.
You know?
Yes, please.
I'm very fortunate to marry someone as pervy as me.
There's a girl in
because
your future.
Because otherwise...
There's a second girl in your future. Come on.
You know? I think you have to be equally pervy in
your
relationship.
Yes,
because otherwise you're in big trouble. So...
Like my first marriage. We were pervy. Completely...
But it's all good.
Is it time for me to go home?
I'm sorry.
No worries. You're always fun to play with.
Super congratulations.
Thank
you. Very exciting. We'll look for it. Nina Hartley's Guide to Total Sex.
In the fall from Avery Press.
It's going to be
I mean, believe me, I'll make a big deal of it in the adult press. Everyone's got to know about it.
Awesome.
Fantastic. And congratulations on your show.
Yes, and we're going to do pictures.
Yeah.
I'm threatening. I'm promising. I'm putting it on the air here, so it
has to happen
now.
I'm sure if it could be just you, I'm sure we could probably get Justine to show up.
Can you imagine? Holy cow. All right.
Okay, fine. Okay. Down, girl.
Have fun, everybody out there. Thanks for listening. And
Nina.com.
Duh. Nina.com. That's where you see
it all. JulieLand.com. Woohoo.
Talk to you next time.
Bye.